Good evening. Awesome. Welcome. Hey, I'll let a couple people sit down, like Kenton and Taylor and Pam. Hey, Rob, your wife's over here, founder. You're welcome. Hey, I'm excited. How many of you, okay, this is always dangerous, like asking people to raise their hands. How many of you enjoyed your Revive groups, right? If you didn't raise your hand, I'm going to call you out. Awesome. Rob did not enjoy his Revive group. We'll talk about that later. It's okay. Rob, I've called you out twice. This is like totally like school for you all over again, I'm sure. Hey, welcome to Revive Ministry School, week one. Session one. Man, yes, we are so glad you've joined us. Before we get too far into it, I do want to recognize my leaders because they play a huge part in making this thing work. Tim's been saying it for a few weeks in Engage. This is not built on one person. This is not built on just the church. This is something that the Lord has been planning for a long time, but it wouldn't be effective without really good quality leaders, and the Lord really has blessed us with good leaders. So if my leadership team could stand up. Okay, then we got Mary Slate, wave your hand. You can keep standing. My wife, Janelle, Dixie Kaiser, Joel Slate, carrying in chairs, Mike Slate, Vicky Tabor, Casey Vanover, keep going. This is good, I like this. Chris Vanover, Kyle Tabor, Steve Slate, his wife Sharon's at home, Sherry Daly, where's Brian? I don't see Brian. Brian Daly is in here as well. Oh, okay. They got a new kid. It's a furry, brown, small, right? Yeah, got it. Interpretation. Read some sign language. Anyways, that's my team. At the same time, can you guys give it a round of applause for Emma? Because she is the admin. Awesome. She does a whole lot for this, and I'll kind of explain a little bit why, because it goes into the vision of this whole thing. Over the summer, Tim showed up to my house way later than I go to bed, which is, if you know Tim, that's normal. It's his normal operating hours. And he said, hey, we're doing this different. We're going to do the ministry school different. Dave has done it for 7 years. He's done an amazing job. He's built a really good foundation and a culture for even how we do impact team and how we hear from the Lord. He's done so many amazing things, but God's called him to do something else and start the healing school. So, again, if you want to experience the healing rooms, they are on Sunday mornings during the 9 a.m. service. So just a quick plug for the healing rooms. But Dave went to go do that. And Tim came to me and said, hey, we want to do something different. What are your thoughts? And if you don't know our story, 4 years ago now, the Lord spoke really clearly to us that we were supposed to move. We were part of Wichita, grew up here. The Lord called us to California to go to ministry school out of Bethel. And so coming back, it was always one of those things of, okay, what do we do? How do we serve? And we got plugged in a lot of different areas. But when Tim showed up and said, hey, what are some ideas that you have from your time at Bethel that maybe we can just start processing? And kind of towards the end of it, I think the Lord stirred both of our hearts to press into what this has. And so he had asked, hey, why don't you consider and pray about running this thing? I'm like, oh man, Tim, that sounds like a lot. I have a full-time job that I'm not leaving and a family and, you know, what to think about it. And then the Lord quickly prompted me on a word he gave me when we moved back, when we decided to move back. To be honest, I was not super thrilled to move back. Why would you want to leave mountains and forest and rivers and hiking? And I'm still working on that with the Lord. I'm hoping he grows some. Hope he grows some out in Valley Center. But anyways, I remember talking to a few people, and I remember the Lord really prompted me. We came back for July 4th weekend, and he said, I want you to move back because I'm bringing revival, and I want you to help steward it. That was in the summer of 2018. No idea what that means. 2 years later, in the middle of a pandemic, in my kitchen, Tim says, hey, I want you to help steward this. Absolutely. Like, this is the yes that we've been believing for going back many years ago. And one of the biggest reasons I said yes to this is because I really believe God is creating a place for you. Like, he had every single one of your faces in mind when you said yes to this. Why? Because it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than just this ministry school. It's just bigger than this church. It's bigger than this city. It's because he has created you for such a time as this. If we've learned anything, the world needs the hope that you're going to carry and are carrying for such a time as this. So I'm excited. This is going to be awesome. So tonight, I'm going to speak a little bit towards the end, but there's a lot of details that I know a lot of you who have signed up and said, I have no idea what I'm signing up for. All I've seen is really cool promo videos, and you talk really fancy in those, but I don't know what I'm signing up for. So I'm going to explain a lot of it and the vision behind each part of it to challenge, to encourage, to set you in a place to where we can even move through the next 8 weeks in a way that you can receive and receive in a way that allows for transformation in yourself. Does that sound cool? Thank you. Gosh. Hey, this will go so much better when you can respond to some of the points that I have. And some of the responses may be getting up and walking out. I told Tim, there's some stuff in here that's going to challenge you. And I think that's okay, right? You didn't just come on a Tuesday night, give away a night for 2.5 hours to not be challenged. So I'm going to challenge you. And we're going to talk about where to posture your heart in the midst of the challenge. Offense is not wanted. But anyways, I remember week one of the fall, the first night of worship. The Lord gave this to me. And I think this is just the season we're in. Acts 2, 17 or 14 through 19. But Peter, standing up with the 11, it's the day of Pentecost, amen, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what has been spoken to the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. This is the day that we are living in, and we are stepping in to that inheritance. What I love about this is, you know, we read this and we're like, man, this is beautiful. Peter stood up and preached to an entire group of people that were in Jerusalem. 3,000 were saved. But what I love about this is it's Peter, formerly known as Simon, who, if you read through the Gospels, is a man who missed it so many times. A man who messed up so many times. But one of the times, like when I think about this, is when he walked on water. An amazing story, right? Two people in history walked on water. Jesus and Simon. And one of them missed it a lot. And we can read that story in Matthew 14, right? Where it says, where Jesus tells him, hey, come and join me. Peter yells out, if this is really you, call me out. I want you to ask yourselves a question. Well, you're going to ask yourselves a lot of questions, but Jesus, is this really you? If it's you, call me out. Call me out in the midst of the unknown, the uncomfortable. I don't know if you've tried to walk on water. It's not super stable in the midst of a storm, right? A little bit awkward footing. Jesus, if this is you, call me out. Don't let this just be another thing I attend, but call me out. Get me a little bit uncomfortable. That's a really scary prayer, be honest with you. And right, we see Peter, he steps out of the boat and he starts to walk on water. And then what happens? He starts to take his eyes off Jesus, right? Some people say he took his eyes off Jesus and noticed the waves and all this stuff. And then he starts to sink. And Jesus picks him up, puts him in the boat and says, you have little faith. And we can look at that and say, wow, God, that's really harsh. But I want you to get the heart of this. He says, Simon, you have little faith. Why? Because I have so much more for you, I need your faith to be bigger. Fast forward to Acts 2. if he hadn't have failed or didn't learn how to mess up, my guess is he wouldn't be standing on a balcony ministering to 3,000 people being ushered into the kingdom. In the midst of what we're going to do, we're going to take risks. And you're going to fail. Just accept it. But just know the preparation and the failure is for much bigger than where you're at today. You can't stay where you're at and expect to reach the amount of people that you're supposed to reach. So expect to grow. So what this is going to look like is over the next 8 weeks, we're going to really start to build out some foundations. And foundations that are really true to our culture here at New Life and true to the Word. We're really going to start this 8 weeks of just getting things solidified and really key principles to the things we believe in the Word and in our faith and as believers. So some of it may seem elementary to you, but guess what? Sometimes we just need to start at the beginning. We good with that? Okay. So my first challenge to you, and this is going to be hard for some, and this is hard for me sometimes too, but position yourself, your heart, your mind, and your spirit to receive. Challenge number one, receive. What do I mean by that? Many of you I know are amazing volunteers. You lead ministries. You mentor. You have the gift of the prophetic. You have the gift of healing. You do all these amazing things in the church, and it is so awesome. And outside the church, in here for the next 8 weeks, I'm asking you to receive. Not to pour out. Not to minister to the person next to you. I'm leaving that up to my leadership team because it's very important. And I know some of you are like, I just signed up for ministry school and I can't minister? Not yet. Got to build the right foundation, okay? I want you to build the foundation of hearing God first for yourself. Sometimes it's really hard. It's really easy for us to get words and pray for people. Sometimes it's harder for us to do that for ourselves. So I want you to take the next 8 weeks to really just in here. If you're on the impact team, minister on Sundays. If you lead the prayer room tomorrow, Beth, you're released, okay? But in here for the next 8 weeks, I want you to receive. I want you to position your hearts to receive. And you might be entering into worship and be like, I got a word for somebody. Step one, ask the Lord, is that word for somebody else or is it for me? Start with that relationship first. Tim's been saying it really good recently, that you cannot live off of somebody else's encounter. You have to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself first and foremost. So if you get a word for somebody, hold on to it for a couple days. Okay? Give it to them another time, because I bet what happens that they may get the word for themselves before you give it to them. Because sometimes in prophetic cultures, what happens is you'll get a word, and you'll be like, this is really good. God, will you confirm it by letting somebody come give me another word? We do that. Guilty, right here. Guilty. God, I'm not sure if I'm hearing you clearly. Will you have the person speaking highlight me and give me a word? I need something. I need your affirmation. I need this. He's speaking to you. We just have to be able to listen. Okay? So sometimes in these cultures, it can be a struggle to do that. But I want you, again, to listen for yourselves, because God may use your ability to hear him, and then maybe a couple days later, when maybe somebody gives you a word, he just confirms it. But again, take that to him first. We good with that? Okay. And really the heart behind this is because if you've done ministry long enough, there's real burnout. If you've done ministry enough in your own ability and strength, there's burnout. And I'm going to do an analogy, so hopefully you can see it. I'm going to make a little bit of mess. Don't worry, I talked to Luis, who runs the facilities. He said it's water, it's okay. Can I get your help? I just need you to hold this to my mouth. Okay, so in ministry, right, it's really easy to pour out. We talk about it all the time. I'm pouring out so much right now. I'm pouring out so much. And what happens is we get in these cycles, right, where we're pouring out. Can you hold a little closer? You got to move with me. This is the first Vanna White moment you have right here, okay? But we show up on a Tuesday night to Revive, right? And we pour out. We pour out. We show up on Sundays, but yet we're still left empty, right? yes, Jesus encountered me during worship on Sunday, and we pour out because we're ministering on Monday. And then we show up on a Wednesday night. Oh, Bible study, we poured out. But every time we pour out, we're being left empty. So my challenge for you to receive is to guard your heart. I've got it taped. Guard your heart. Put Jesus in the center. Because watch the effectiveness if you minister from an overflow versus just pouring out. Your impact to all of these people is much greater. So I want you to take that posture that, yes, I'm asking you to receive for 8 weeks so you can be more effective for something much bigger that the Lord's calling you to. So what are we going to be teaching over this next 8 weeks? We're going to be laying down a foundation. And how you're going to receive it, because some of you might, oh, wow, this is really good, but I kind of know this. You're not telling anything I don't know. I've been in ministry. I've led churches. I'm always in the Word. But again, I want you to step into this place. And Luke 8:10. How many brought your Bibles? Go ahead and pull them out. We're gonna jump into the Word. I got it up on the big Bible on the sky, but I want you to do this for yourself as well. So Luke 8, and we're going to jump around a little bit. That's okay, right? And again, yeah, somebody respond to my yes. Thank you, Janelle. Appreciate it. So Luke 8:10, the parable of the seeds. And starting in verse 10, this Jesus' response. So Jesus explains to the crowd the parable of the seeds. And the disciples, after the crowd left, they took Jesus and asked him, hey, what is the deeper meaning of this parable? Verse 10, he said, you have been given a teachable heart to perceive the secret hidden mysteries of God's kingdom realm. But those who do not have a listening heart, my words are merely stories. Even though they have eyes, they are blind to true meaning of what I say. And even though they listen, they won't receive full revelation. Say this with me. I am not just a listener. Why is this important? Jump down to verse 16. No one lights a lamp, then hides it, covering it over or putting it where it lights, where light won't be seen. No, the lamp is placed on a lampstand so others are able to benefit from its brightness. Because this revelation lamp now shines within you. Nothing will be hidden from you. It will all be revealed. Every secret of the kingdom. Let me say that again. Every secret of the kingdom will be unveiled and out in the open. What I love about this is it's not hidden. He doesn't say, hey, you gotta go and search the deepest, darkest places in the world to find these hidden mysteries. No. It says, every secret of the kingdom will be unveiled and out in the open, made known by the revelation light. So pay careful attention to your hearts as you hear my teaching. For to those who have open hearts, even more revelation will be given to them until it overflows. You want to know what it's like to overflow? Open your hearts. Open your hearts. Position your hearts to receive. And those who do not listen with open hearts, what little light they imagine to have will be taken away. There is always more. That's what I love about the Word. There is always more. Every time I pick it up, not only am I reading it for knowledge and wisdom, but I'm also reading it because every time I read it, it's the breath of God being breathed into my heart, mind, and soul, and I encounter him in a new way. Even if I've read something 1,000 times, he has new revelation. It's endless. Thanks. Man, we're quiet. I know. I'm saying a lot, so there's a lot more to come. But some of the things we're going to be teaching over the next 8 weeks, Kyle Tabor is going to teach us next week. on repentance, and we're teaching about faith, the different baptism and laying on of hands. We're going to talk about the resurrection and eternal judgment, renewing of your heart and mind, discipleship, and all of how all of these will lead to a supernatural lifestyle. So buckle up. But in all of it, I want you to remember this. God wants to encounter you through his word. Not just because of what is taught or who's up here, but he wants to interact with you through his word. And he has something for you. But your posture and how you receive will dictate how much you get. So if you've come with a little bit of a critical spirit, better? Sorry. Thanks, guys. Again, working on my sign language. We're using new technology. Anyways, he has something for you, but you have to posture yourself in a place to receive, because the way you posture yourself will dictate how much you receive. One of the best ways to do this, if you're like, oh, I don't know if my heart's in the right place, or maybe I'm, you know, I've got maybe this critical spirit that's kind of popping up that, well, I don't know if I quite agree, or, you know, I mean, Andy's way too young to be teaching these things. Hey, it's okay. I've thought it. But no, I want you to position your heart. And then one of the best ways to check to see where your heart is to see how well you honor. See, honor is a choice. Honor positions your place to receive regardless of whatever your mind may tell you. It positions your heart into the right place. It creates a high respect and revere for somebody else. So I want you to choose honor. Start in a place of honor. So honor the speakers, honor our worship team, honor your fellow students, honor your revive leaders. Your level of honor will determine your level of obedience when the Lord gives you more responsibility. I'm going to say that one again. So if you're taking notes, it's a good one. Your level of honor will determine your level of obedience when the Lord gives you more responsibility. Which leads me to one of our aspects of revive. Revive groups. I want to ask you again, how many of you enjoyed revive groups? Because I don't want to have to call Rob out when he doesn't answer, raise his hand. Sorry, Rob. Love you. Number one rule of revive groups, honor. Honor your leaders. Honor your leaders if they're older than you, younger than you. Maybe they've been a believer less than you. Maybe they haven't walked through the same transformation that you have. Honor your leaders, because I guarantee you they have something for you. It's no accident you're in the group that you're in, and it's no accident you're being led by the people you're being led by. They have something for you. Position yourself in honor. Number two, rule of revive groups. If those of you who like numbers in your notes. Number two rule of revive groups, vulnerability. Vulnerability and transparency with yourself, your group, and others will lead to a deeper level of transformation. Sometimes, you know, in a lot of cultures, we like to put on a really good front, especially in church. How are you doing? Oh, I'm good, I'm good. How are you doing? I'm good. Bless the Lord. He's good. But inside, you're torn up. Again, this is a safe place. If you're coming and something's heavy, talk to a leader. Get it out. Because if you don't get it out, it just festers. It festers, and it doesn't create a good environment. It doesn't create the heart that becomes teachable, because all you're going to walk in is bitterness and frustration and anger and all these things that just the Lord wants to deal with. Get it out. Get it out. But you have to be vulnerable to do that. Because whatever you put in, you'll get out. So transformation starts with you. Rule number three, protect your community. If you noticed, your groups are very diverse. Very diverse. And my hope is that you find someone that maybe you wouldn't normally connect with and connect with them. Again, there's a reason for it. I remember when we were at school, there was this one lady in our first year revive group, or revival group is what they call it. She was, what, 83 from England. We called her Queen Jean. Sweetest gal. Kind of literally this mother figure in the group, but super quiet. And I'm 30, and I'm like, I don't know how to connect with you. But I was intentional to connect with her. She had some of the greatest stories of encountering the Holy Spirit that I have ever heard. They were crazy, crazy stories. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I want more. Like, you're here in your 80s with a group of 20 to really 25. I was even old for our group. And you're receiving from them. Man, what a posture. Like, I learned from her so much of how she postured herself when she had she didn't have to be there, right? But she chose to be there and paid a lot to be there, to move halfway around the world to receive from somebody even more than half her age. It was beautiful. But your revive groups are a safe place. So find connection. Be a safe place, not a judgmental place. It's not your job to determine the level of somebody else's spiritual walk, because we all need more. So don't let offense rob you of connection. My guess is over the next 8 weeks, the next sessions 2, 3, 4, and 5, you're going to find stuff to be offended about. You might already be offended by something I said tonight. That's okay. But I want you to move through offense. One, check your heart. Why am I offended by that? Why am I offended? Why is it that when somebody goes and is experiencing the Holy Spirit and is shaking and wailing and falling on the ground, why does that do something in my heart that I don't quite understand? Take it to the Lord. And then say, God, if there's more, I'm ready for more. This was very apparent to me when the first week I went to school. We're in a room of 1,500 people. And I'd been to a few charismatic things, but like not like this. And I remember walking in and everybody's worshiping. I'm like, oh, this is so beautiful. People from every tribe and every tongue and every nationality in one room worshiping. And then I look to my left and people are falling out all over the place, shaking and trembling and screaming. And I mean, it was just like, what is happening over there? Lord, I don't know what you're delivering out of people. But I remember telling Janelle, like, we've made the biggest mistake of our lives. The biggest mistake of our lives. I have no idea what's happening. And the Lord just quickly prompted me. He said, you're not here for them. You're here for me. I am moving in them in the way I need to move in them. So don't judge what's happening, because you may need what they have. And I remember I was like, oh gosh, you know, people are getting these power encounters and being electrocuted. And I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. Like, it's weird. Like, what does that feel like? And I remember we were sitting in a class, and it was called this deep encounter class. And I was sitting there, and then this guy's walking around touching people, and they're being electrocuted and shot on the floor. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. Again, the Lord just was like, just posture your heart to receive. Even if you don't understand it, posture your heart to receive. And I'm like, okay, here we go. So I'm just going to posture my heart. And I'm like sitting down just so I don't fall over. And I'm sitting down, and I'm like, okay, God, I'm ready. There's more. I'm here. And he walks by and he touches me and nothing happened. I was like, oh, dang, did I miss it? Did I not posture my heart right? So, you know, I adjust myself on my seat and I'm like, okay, God, I'm ready. More. And he walks by again. He touches me. Nothing happened. I'm like, oh, dang. I'm like, what's going on? Something wrong with my spiritual life. What is going on? And then as I'm pressing in, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm not just here for a power encounter. I'm here for you, Lord. So I just, okay, God, let me just connect with your face. And the next thing you know, he walked back by. I didn't see him because I was kind of looking at people's feet, you know, kind of a little like he did in Heads Up 7 Up, see if he was going to come and touch me. But I'm, so I'm sitting there and now I'm locked into his face. And he had walked back behind me and he just gently touched my shoulder. And I was on the floor, shaking. And I was like, I can't stop. What's wrong with this thing? Someone turned the power off. No, it was amazing. It hurt, but it was amazing. But it stretched me because I didn't understand it. It scared me because I didn't understand it. You're going to have those moments. I hope and pray you have those moments, because guess what? When I got off the floor, many moments later, I was different. I didn't seem like I was different, I wouldn't say like I went into this special realm or whatever. I just remember that I got up and I was different. Why? Because I've gone a little bit farther than I was before. And there were times where I'd wake her up in the middle of the night because I was seeing angels in our room, and she would freak out, and I'd be trembling at night. I mean, there were so many stories like this, but every time it took me in a little bit deeper, just a little bit deeper, one step closer, because those steps never end. I never get to a point where I'm like, oh, God, I've kind of had enough. Like these are really good. We kind of meet the end of the rope. No, because there's always more. Stretch yourselves. If you don't understand it, take it to him first. Then if you still don't understand it, come and ask somebody who maybe has experienced it. Anyways, just, I've been there. Worship. Enter in. Step out of the boat. Get uncomfortable. Even if you don't understand it, just get uncomfortable. Find freedom and stretch yourself. If you've never danced, dance. Even if you can't dance, just take a step. If you've never raised your hands, do a small TV. Anybody know what I mean by that? Hold your small TV, okay? Do something, okay? If you've never this is a good one. If you've never not sung a word, don't sing a word. Be obedient to what the Holy Spirit asks you to do. Because sometimes in worship, we get caught up in the music, right? We get caught up in singing in the words. And if you've just kind of sang along for so long, maybe the Lord's going to ask you not to sing. Ooh, I got goosebumps. That was for somebody. And again, I want you to get uncomfortable because God has so much more for you. You all have binders. So I see some people using them for notes. Great. Thank you, Emma, for putting note sections in there. Awesome. And there's also homework. Yes, you signed up for ministry school. It's the last word of that. Okay, school. There is homework. It shouldn't be too much. But we want to connect with you. We want you to connect with the Lord. So this is intentional. So in there, you're going to find reflection questions. Some of the stuff that I've talked about, there's questions that will just take you in a little bit deeper. Okay, that'll take what maybe some of the stuff I've said that have challenged you that maybe aren't sitting right. Like this is a moment that you can even have another level of just time with the Lord and be honest with yourself because you're going to turn this stuff in. Somebody's going to read it, but don't hold back. Just because you're turning it in, do not hold back. So you may ask like, who's reading it? Your Revive group leaders. The groups you're in, they're going to be reading and engaging with your homework. Why? Because it's going to build a stronger connection between you and them. Okay? So the reflection questions are in there. So connect with God. Be honest. Homework. So there's also another sheet for homework. Again, we want you to engage with the Word. So there's some Bible reading in that. So there's Bible reading, I think, every day. I think we're going to go through John the first 8 weeks. So it's laid out how to do it for the first 8 weeks. So read it. And you're going to show it to your leader every week. And I want you to actually read it. I know you can do the audio version on the app. I'm guilty. But I want you to read it in a Bible. Write in it. Connect. If you don't feel comfortable writing in your Bible, I talked to somebody today who was like, I don't know. Use a journal. Grab a journal. Write. Engage with the Word. Don't just read it for homework, but read it. And some of you may wait till Monday and read all of that week. That's fine. There's grace. But show up on Tuesday and be having it read. And turn in your questions. Again, it'll be intentional. So every week you'll have a new level, new questions and reflection questions. But the Bible work will stay the same, and that's just a show for them. Okay. Make sure I stay. Okay. I know this, the signal, sorry. The commitment, this is the last thing, and then we're going to get into my teaching. I still have 30 minutes. This is awesome. You're welcome. I know some of you are like, oh, he's got 30 more minutes. He's been talking for a really long time. Yes, I've been talking for a really long time. But we are going to teach for an hour, potentially 45 minutes to an hour, and then we're going to enter into worship. But the last thing I want to say as far as the next 8 weeks is commit. We talked about this as far as, like, even just, hey, this is an 8-week commitment. It's an 8-week commitment for a reason, because we're going to build the foundation, right? We want you to commit. We want you to commit. If you came tonight, maybe you came a little bit late and didn't register, we want you to register. So if you haven't registered for a group and you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about, Andy, find Casey Vanover or my wife afterwards if you haven't registered, and register. But we want you to commit. We want you to commit to the 8 weeks, okay? And stick with it. There are going to be moments during the 8 weeks you're like, oh, man, I'm tired. I just got off work. It was a really hard day, okay? I get it. Commit. Those are the moments you're going to have. Those are the moments you're going to choose. Like, oh, I'm tired. I don't want to go. Andy's speaking this week, and he just talks way too long. You're going to have those moments. I trust you. I promise you, you're going to have those moments. Push through it. Commit. We want you to commit. And what we're going to do is start to build this out. So this is first 8 weeks. There's 5 sessions. This is session 1. And we'll start talking about what session 2, 3, 4, and 5 look like. But there is so much that the Lord has for you. And there's so much transformation that he's going to bring you into, so you can go be effective in your work environment, in your family, in whatever realm of influence you might have, to be able to be poured out effectively. Okay, so commit. Don't shy away from change, but step into it. I was telling somebody today, some things at work have changed in our roles and responsibilities. And I'm going to be honest, I hate change, unless I'm changing it. Like, I love change as long as I can control my change, but I do not like it when somebody else tells me to change. Look, the Lord's still working on me. But step into it. Step into the change. Embrace it. Again, move your heart into a posture that allows you to receive even more revelation. And move towards pain. Don't run away from it. There's going to be moments that you're going to be struggling to say, oh man, this really hurt. What was said, that brought up a weed in my heart. Why does that hurt so much? Don't run away from it. Okay? Step into it. Your leaders are there for a reason. Connect with them. If you're in a place where you're just like, I just don't know. I've got all this just kind of anxiety or whatever. The Lord is going to do a lot in you the next 8 weeks, this next year. Whether you attend Revive or not, you've started something. You have started something. And it's going to be really easy to draw in when pain happens. Don't step into it. Find somebody to talk to. And communicate. Communicate what you're going with, whether it's another student, whether it's a leader, whether it's myself. But if you have anything that I've said that's offended you, Papa Joe's back there. He'll give you his phone number. You're welcome, Joe. No, but we do want you to communicate. Let us know where you're at. Our email is revive@newlifecovenant.org. If you have testimonies of what God's doing, we want to know. Okay, we want to be praying for you. If you're like in a place, you come to Revive and on Wednesday life happens, and you're like, I don't know if I can make it next week. Hey, let us know. Let your leaders know. Hopefully they've given you their contact information. If not, we'll figure it out. But we want you to communicate, because you're going to be moving through stuff, and we want to be there to be able to help. Okay? Oh, can we take a deep breath? Okay, just open up your hands. Father, we just thank you. Father, we come to you with open hearts and open hands and open minds. And we just rebuke any heaviness. Father, because you say in your word to put our heaviness on you. So, Father, we just put our heaviness on you. And we just open up our hearts and our minds to receive. To receive the more, to receive the moments that we're going to walk into together that might seem a little scary. But Father, will you call us out of the boat? Will you call us out of the comfortability and onto the unstable waters? Call us out to where you are.
Let us not be in a position where we're comfortable in the boat, but then wish that we would have stepped out. Let us move into the uncertainty, Father, because you're out there in the uncertainty. May you remind us that you've created us for such a time as this. Father, will you give us sweet reminders throughout this process to not get stuck, to remind us where our heart is, to remind us to step into the pain. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Okay, week one teaching. You ready?
I know I said a lot, and you're like, whoa, week one teaching. Hopefully you took notes.
The best way to start is to assess where you're at. Because if you can assess where you're at, you know where you're going. Remember when we used to travel? We used to travel before 2020. I used to travel for work. Now I can't. My last trip was actually almost a year ago. I remember it very clearly because it was the day after the Super Bowl, and I was headed to San Francisco, and actually had dinner that next night in the 49ers stadium the day after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. It was really great. People were getting souvenirs at their fan shop, and I'm like, you got any Chiefs stuff? They didn't think it was funny. But it was my last trip before everything got shut down. And I'm one of those people when I go on trips that you would call an overpacker. An overpacker. Janelle laughs because it's true. I'm like, we're going for a night. So, okay, here's what I need. I need a travel outfit. I need a work outfit. I need an evening outfit. I need a workout outfit in case I work out. I've never actually worked out, but I have the clothes just in case. Right? And then I'm like, okay, well, each one of those is a pair of shoes. Okay. And I wear size 12. So you can imagine my travel bag is pretty packed. But I'm an overpacker. I'm sorry. I can't help it. I've tried to be a light packer. I can't. The Lord's working on me on it. Granted, I can't travel anymore anyway. So he still have time. But it is a problem. But anyways, before any trip, I always have to, like, a couple of days out, assess what I'm bringing. Make sure I have enough toiletries. Make sure I have enough outfits. And make sure everything's clean. Like that's my thing. And so I move through my list, and I'm like, okay, I got this, this, and this. And I assess, okay, what am I missing? What do I need? Why? Because I need to be prepared for what might happen where I'm going. Right? That's what we're going to do. I'm going to overpack you. Okay? You're welcome. Because you're here for equipping, training, activation. Right? Y'all signed up. You saw my videos. I said, hey, you're going to be equipped. You're going to be activated. And then you come in here and I tell you, hey, don't do anything for 8 weeks. You are doing something. You're receiving. That's your job. But we are going to equip and train and activate. But let's assess where we're at. Right? Let's assess where we're at spiritually. Because, like I said, even with the story of Peter, we have to start somewhere to get somewhere. Because we want you to be so prepared that you can walk into any situation in your own life, your work environment, the grocery store, wherever it might be, but you'll have everything you need to minister in a way that will help lead people to Jesus so he can transform them. Hope you caught that. That he can transform them. You are a vessel. But you have to be equipped enough to be able to lead them to Jesus. Okay. Rick Renner says this really good. The Word of God provides a solid foundation of truth and strength that transcends time and generations. It is the platform upon which we build our lives, our families, and our communities. But where there is an absence of Scripture, people lose the ability to discern right from wrong. With no firm grasp on basic doctrine, they forfeit robust faith and arrive at wrong spiritual conclusions. They believe the things that sound good but are not God. Okay, so what is he saying? Let me break this down. Does anybody know how to spot a counterfeit bill? No, thank you. Some people said yes. How? You're right, but you're describing what right there? You're describing the actual thing, right? The only way to truly spot a fake is to know the real thing well enough, not even well enough, to know it better than enough to be able to spot a fake from a mile away. I verified that with a police officer, okay? And the Secret Service on a YouTube video, okay? The only way to truly spot a fake is to know every in and out of that bill. The secret 3D telegram, like hologram, you know what I'm saying. The 3D images on it. Thank you, hologram. Thank you. I'm talking a lot. All the little markings. I was even watching one where it says there was this United States of America along the bill of, like, you have to use a really, really big magnifying glass to see this marking of the United States of America on the collar of somebody. But the only way to truly know a fake is to know the real thing better. Same thing with the Bible. The only way to truly understand if you're getting truth is to know the Word. Know the Word in and out, in and out, because that's when you find true truth. And now, more than ever, we need believers who understand the depths of God's Word. We need revival of the Bible. I'm going to say something again that might stretch some of you, but hear my heart in it. Just because a person grew up in the church, has been a believer longer than I've been alive, speaks on a stage or is in ministry or has 100 disciples, does not mean that he or she is spiritually mature. Many believers in church today who have been saved for years are still biblically illiterate. Pastor Kit used to say this all the time, nobody in here but everybody out there, right? So just so we're clear. You see, maturity is not just hearing the Word. You know, sometimes we can, by the way, I've loved the responses, but sometimes we get in a space where we're like, oh, that was really good, Pastor Tim. That was really good. Man, that guy could really preach. Man, Michael Todd can really bring the Word. Man, that person's got such a gift of speaking. Maturity is not just hearing the Word. No, maturity comes when you apply its wisdom. It comes when you hear or read its truth and put it into practice. So ask yourselves, where are you at? Father, where am I at? If I'm on a spectrum of maturity, do I feel like I know the Word in a way that I'm a kindergartner? And that's okay. If you've been a believer for a few days and you haven't really spent time in the Word, let me preface something as I say this. Where you're at is okay for where you're at. But it's not okay to stay there. Because now you've been told not to stay there. Before it was okay, but now it's not. I want you to stretch yourselves. But be honest with yourselves. Ask yourself, where am I at spiritually? Where am I at with knowing the Word? And if you're not where you want to be, that's a perfect place to be. Because there means he's got more for you. Jake, you can go ahead and start giving me some vibes in a bit if you want, whenever you're ready. If you all will turn to 1 Corinthians 2, we're going to read a lot of the Word right now. Because I want you to get this. I think this is really good for what I'm trying to get out. And it'll also be up on the Bible in the sky. So, but if you can't read it, I'm sorry. We're work on that another time. Verse 1, my brothers and sisters, when I came to proclaim to you the secrets of God, I refused to come as an expert, trying to impress you with my elegant speech and lofty wisdom. Pause. This is Paul, right? This is Paul writing this to the Corinthians. Paul was Saul, who was one of the most regarded Pharisees in all the land. A man who could teach and preach, who knew the law better than just about anybody else. And here he is in 1 Corinthians after encountering Jesus and going on this journey and writing to the Corinthians, I am not trying to impress you. Think about this heart shift he went through. I am not trying to impress you with my elegant speech or lofty wisdom. For while I was with you, I was determined to be consumed with one topic, Jesus, the crucified Messiah. I stood before you feeling inadequate, filled with a reverence for God, and trembling under the sense of the importance of my words. The message I preached and how I preached it was not an attempt to sway you with pervasive arguments, but to prove to you the almighty power of God's Holy Spirit. But to prove to you the almighty power of God's Holy Spirit, which now resides in each one of us. For God intended that your faith not be established on man's wisdom, but by trusting in his almighty power. His wisdom for you is found in his power for you. His wisdom for you is found in his power for you. However, there is a wisdom that we'll continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature. It's wisdom that didn't originate in the present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned. Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in a mystery. It is his secret plan, destined before the ages to bring us into glory. His secret plan, destined before the age to bring us into glory. None of the rulers of this present world understood it. For if they had, they would have never have crucified the Lord of shining glory. And this is why the scriptures say things never discovered or heard before, things beyond our ability to imagine, these are the many things God has in store for all of his lovers. But God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, he has revealed to us his inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who consistently explores all things. I'm going to read that one again. But God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, he has revealed to us his inmost heart. You want to know the inmost heart of God? The Holy Spirit. And deepest mysteries to the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. After all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? So it is with God his thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by his Spirit, the Spirit of God. For we did not receive the spirit of the world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understanding and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. And we articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit and not with the words taught by human wisdom. Read that again. I hope you're getting this. I'm reading a lot of the word for a reason. Because his word speaks to our hearts. This is not my words. This is God breathed for such a time as this. And we articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit and not with the words taught by human wisdom. This is why we must engage with his word. And we join together Spirit-revealed truths with Spirit-revealed words. Someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelations of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. He can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit. Those who live in the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate all things, and they are subject to the scrutiny of no one but God. For who has ever intimately known the mind of the Lord Yahweh well enough to become his counselor? Christ has, and we possess Christ's perceptions. Whew. Man, I love that. We possess Christ's perceptions. Hebrews 5:13. For every spiritual infant who lives on milk is not yet pierced by the revelation of righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, whose spiritual senses perceive heavenly matters. And they have they been adequately trained by what they've experienced to emerge with understanding of the difference between what is truly excellent and what is evil and harmful. Can we be a group of people who didn't just sign up for another church thing? Who didn't just sign up to give away our Tuesday nights? I'm gonna steal Tim's word. But can we be a people who are engaged? Engaged with the word first. Engaged. You have to get this for yourself. I said this earlier. You can't live on another person's encounter. You can't. You have to encounter the Lord for yourself. I can share my testimony, and it may bring you to a place to encounter the Lord, but my testimony isn't your encounter. My testimony of what God did in a room in Redding, California, is not your testimony. You're going to have your own. You're going to have your own. Don't rely on somebody else's encounter to bring you through. Yes, they may have wisdom, they may have understanding, but you can too. Proverbs 25:2-3. Again, this you don't have to search for. God conceals the revelation of his word in the hiding place of his glory. But the honor of kings is revealed by how they thoroughly search out the deeper meaning of all that God says. But the honor of kings is revealed by how they thoroughly search out the deeper meaning of all, say all, that God says. The heart of a king, how many know we're royalty? Amen? We're royalty. The heart of a king is full of understanding, like the heavens are high and the ocean is deep. For some of us, it might be time for a fresh start and to turn over what we thought we knew and let God give us a fresh word by starting with his word. Ephesians 4, verse 15. But instead, we will remain strong and always sincere in our love as we express the truth. All of our direction and ministries will flow from Christ and lead us deeper into him, the anointed head of his body, the church. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 21, if you have really experienced the Anointed One and heard his truth, it'll be seen in your life. For we know that the ultimate reality is embodied in Jesus.
Will you posture your hearts for worship? Whether you need to stand, whether you need to sit, kneel, posture yourself for worship. Take what was just been shared and move into a place of reflection. I talked a lot about hearing God for yourself, encountering God for yourself. The reason we have worship at the end, in case you want to know, is for this very moment right now. Take what was just shared, process it with the Lord, enter into his presence, enter into his throne room. Take what might not be sitting quite right with your heart or spirit and take it to him. Ask the Lord for more. I know that's a scary prayer. I know it's a scary prayer. But ask him for more. Ask him, hey, what do I need to do to take another step? Father, what do I need to do to step out of the boat? What kind of courage? Actually, Lord, I pray for courage. I pray for courage. I pray that we have a room full of people that are moving into courage, that are stepping into a level of faith they've never experienced, but one that they've always hoped for. So, Father, we just pray for courage to remove any expectations, to remove any thoughts of, hey, what does this worship look like? What does my relationship with you look like? Let's go beyond that. What do you want it to look like, Lord? What do you want my relationship with you to look like? What do you want my worship to look like? And don't be surprised if he says, like David. I feel like some of you got that. That you asked him the question, what do you want my worship to look like? And he said, like David. Keep your clothes on, but step into that place. Step into that place. It's going to be uncomfortable. And you're going to be like, God, that wasn't you, but I guarantee you it was him. That struck a chord with some of you. I know it did. I know it did. And it's going to take a whole lot of courage and faith to respond. But it's a moment that he is going to start to test you. You prayed, God, what do you want it to look like? Just like Simon said, Jesus, if that's really you, if that's really you, call me out. Call me out. I don't know what he was thinking, how Jesus was going to respond. Oh, sure, no, stay there. It's not me. No, he said, come, join me. Come and join him in the uncertainty of what you're putting your feet on, and come and join him in the certainty of who he is and what his face looks like. Join him into the certainty of his voice. Join him into the certainty of his word. Join him into the certainty that his plans are for your good. Join him into the certainty that he's not going to leave you where you're at, but he's going to take you deeper. He's going to take you farther. Don't be content with where you're at. Get out of the boat. Get out of the boat.